This is attorney Carrie Meldon, and we are live at Law Talk Live. It's a November Saturday morning. The Gators are fixing to take on the Texas A&M Aggies down in College Station. I had a couple friends fly out yesterday. UF chartered a flight directly from Gainesville to College Station nonstop, which was very unique, through American Airlines, and they flew a whole large 7:30, I think it was like a 737, over to have the Gator fans watch Texas A&M and the Gators meet up. The game starts at 12 p.m. Eastern and 11 a.m. Central Time, which I guess is where College Station is. If you have not been to College Station, I would very, very much urge you to check it out. It's one of the coolest college towns I've ever been to. They still have the old country western swinging barn doors when you walk into the saloon. They got a really historic bar called Dixie Chicken, which serves chicken and beer in pitchers and has about, I think, four or five elk heads or mounted heads on the wall. And it's got it's just got a Texas vibe to it. There's a whole bunch of different places in College Station. And obviously, you know, they're known for their barbecue. So if you're out there today, stay safe. Go Gators. Let's take home a victory. We got a great show today. We're going to be talking about a few things. Obviously, there's an election coming up. I just saw my friend Sean Brewer. He was outside the studio. There's a library about a quarter mile away from the radio station that we're broadcasting from right now. And there's a lot of people holding up signs. And I saw him holding up his own sign in front of the library. So I'm going to wish him luck. He's a hardworking guy, and I know he's really wants to serve the people of Alachua County, or the Judicial Circuit, the whole circuit, actually, as a new circuit court judge. So that was interesting. So we got the elections coming up. We also have, obviously, the Gator game, the football game this weekend. We've got basketball coming in. So as you guys, listeners, know out there, we're always giving away free tickets, free stuff. The last Gator game, I think, that we have coming to Gainesville is next weekend, which would be South Carolina. I believe we will have some giveaways on our Facebook and our Instagram page. And you can always call us at 1-352-373-8000 if you ever want to know about any of our giveaways. One of the things that we're very, very fortunate to have is this relationship with the Florida Gators, which gives us a ton of connections, tickets to all kinds of events, whether it's softball, women's basketball, men's basketball, Gators football. So we always like to share all of these assets with our people out there, because we have a whole lot of them and we have a whole lot to give away. So we want to make sure that the locals here in North Central Florida get the chances to watch the Gators. Or if you have some friends or loved ones or some kids you want to take, I think it's a great opportunity to have a bonding experience and be entertained with some of the best teams in the nation. So once again, you can go to the Meldon Law Facebook and or Instagram pages, and we're always having new things show up. Speaking of, the first topic I want to talk about is I just got back with, I think it was seven members of our team at Meldon Law. We went to Atlanta for a Game Changer Summit. It was a seminar in Atlanta that was held inside the Mercedes-Benz Stadium where the Atlanta Falcons play. And this is huge news. I need to announce this on the radio, because if you're listening out there and you don't know already, if you don't follow Meldon Law, I'm going to tell you, out of, I think there was 4,500 people, our director of operations, Nikki Hadaway, had entered into a year-long challenge where she would continually update the vendor of this particular event, which was called CRISP. They do legal coaching, and they coach on how to turn a law firm into a company that can help people more efficiently. For one whole year, she was participating in challenges, and she was implementing all of these changes in our office to make our client communication even better than it was the previous 50 years. And she was voted to be a top five finalist and was invited along with four other individuals from around the nation to stand up on a stage in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And the winner of the top five people, the prize was a brand new Tesla Model 3. And the winner was going to be able to drive it out the door. And so it went to a vote, and there was over they showed videos of everyone's transformation, including Nikki Hathaway, who's our office operations manager, a director of operations over at Meldon Law, and she won. She got the most votes from all of her peers. She was considered the most effective, the most successful, and obviously the best CRISP Summit challenge, I guess it was a challenge winner, and she was able to drive home a brand new Tesla. So at our office on Monday, if you drive by, you're going to see a brand new white model Tesla. If you want to come meet Nikki, she's absolutely breathtaking. She's inspirational. If you know her backstory, which was shown on the video, where she was and where she came from and where she is now, you would first of all shed a tear, then smile, and then just be proud that you get to be associated with her. That's how incredible this was. And to tell you how impressive this summit was, the speakers that spoke to us were some of the best speakers I've ever seen. There was a lady named Cy Wakeman who wrote a book called No Ego, and what she talks about is eliminating BMW in the workplace, which stands for bitching, moaning, and whining. Can I say the B word? I don't know. Okay, so eliminate BMW. You know, make sure when anyone she says when anyone comes to her office, if they don't have a potential solution to their problem, she doesn't want to hear about it. And because usually when people come to your office, and I'm talking about other employees, other team members, they already know what they need to do. They just want to have someone else tell them. So when you have someone say, you know, what's the problem? Give me three potential solutions and I'll pick the best one. Usually the person will figure out what the best solution is and then never have to come to the office in the first place. So she teaches, you know, about having empowering your team members to come to conclusions and also to make sure that, you know, everybody knows, you know, that they have another gear that they can reach. So Cy Wakeman always says, you know, what would great look like? You know, someone comes into their office and says, man, I've had a tough day. The client's been tough with me. You know, their life's been turned upside down, but they're blaming me for all the problems, even though it was someone else. And then she says, why don't you just ask the team member, what would great look like in this situation? How can you be great? And it's incredible that the team members can rise to that occasion once they know that they have the right to, they have the opportunity and the obligation to be great. They will be great if you have the right people on your team. So that was the first speaker. We've got even more important speakers. I would say more impressive speakers coming up. So we'll be back after the break.
Since 1971, Meldon Law has been dedicated to giving back to our community with programs like Law Talk Live on the Sky every Saturday at 10:30. You can also join our podcast, Meldon Law and Friends, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on Facebook, YouTube, and 37 other audio platforms. Meldon Law, the only official injury law firm partner of the Florida Gators, now with offices in Gainesville, Ocala, and Lake City.
So we're back here at Law Talk Live. This is attorney Kerry Meldon, and we are happy to be here this morning. It's November 5th, 10:41 a.m. We're talking about this incredible seminar that I was able to attend on Saturday in person up in Atlanta, Georgia. It was called the CRISP Summit Game Changer Seminar, and this is the fourth one that they've put on. CRISP is a legal coaching community that over 4,000 firms were at this convention. It was the largest legal convention in the history of the world, as far as what they told me, because it was inside the Mercedes-Benz stadium in Atlanta, which held obviously a ton of people. But the speakers were absolutely incredible, and they had nothing to do with the law. The other speakers that were great, there was a gentleman named Jesse Cole, who is the owner of the Savannah Bananas, which is a semi-pro baseball team in Savannah. He has changed the way that baseball is played. If you have ever heard of the Savannah Bananas, if you ever heard of them, you know how hard it is to get into a game and watch them play. There's a 2-year waiting list just to be able to see them play. It's a whole different model of baseball. They basically play the game within 2 hours. They have dancing. It's like a circus. When you buy a ticket, it's $25, but everything's included: free hot dogs, or not free, but it's all included, hot dogs and soft drinks and everything else, nachos, anything, popcorn, whatever you want in the stadium. And the entire time you're given a first-class experience. And Jesse Cole's takeaway was essentially, you know, you have to, with in this day and age where you have the phone to distract you, you have to entertain people, and you have to make it interesting, and being able to condense baseball into a immersive, you know, crowds participating. For example, if there's a foul ball and a crowd member catches it, it's considered an out, which is kind of cool. You can't walk out of the batter's box once you're in. There is no bunts. If you're bunt, you get thrown out of the game for the entire game. So they're trying to make baseball fun, and the reason why is in this day and age with all these distractions, you have to get people's attention. So that was a takeaway from Jesse Cole, the owner of the Savannah Bananas. The next speaker was Mr. Wonderful, Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank. So if you ever watched the show Shark Tank, you know, he's incredible. He was talking, his major takeaway that I got from him is that in this country, we are entitled, and that it's our duty to not entitle other people. We should empower other people, but not give them a sense of entitlement. And we all do it. We've all had, you know, luck. We've all had gifts. We've all had things. You know, I'm a victim of opportunity, or I shouldn't say a victim. I'm a fortunate victim of opportunity, because of course my father started the firm 50 years ago. But just because I'm his son doesn't allow me to be entitled to believe that I can necessarily do what he's done. I still have to work. In fact, I probably have to work harder to be able to give the clients the service that they expect, because Jeffrey's just so incredible. So what Kevin O'Leary said is in this day and age, you cannot be entitled, that there's too many kids that are entitled as they're graduating from school. And what he did with his son is he's given him a trust that runs out once school is done. So he says, son, you can go to school for as long as you want. You can get two bachelor's degrees. You can get a PhD. You can go get a medical degree. But once you're graduated from all your education, then you're cut off and you got to go fly on your own. And he says it's something like a dead bird under a nest never flies or something. I don't know. There was some saying that Kevin O'Leary said, but Mr. Wonderful was excellent. So that was basically the major speakers on the first day. And then the second day was even better. So the second day started off with a gentleman named David Goggins. And I don't know if you ever heard of David Goggins, but he is one of the most motivational individuals I've ever listened to in my entire life. He was a African-American gentleman, I believe, from Buffalo, who was overweight. He joined the Army at 18, or I think it was not the Army, but it was maybe the Air Force. I don't know. I'm sure the listeners out there who know who David Goggins is knows what he started off with. And he ended up failing out of school, or failing out of whatever the training was. And then he decided to join the Navy SEALs a few years later, and was able to get through SEAL training, even though he couldn't swim. And then he went on to set the world record for the most pull-ups. And this is a guy that weighed 280 pounds before he decided to change his life. He was apparently in his early 20s, he was spraying different restaurants for roaches, and he one time he sprayed this one country buffet in the money spot, he called it, where all the roaches were, and roaches came out of the ceiling and started jumping on him. And he went home and he got in the shower. He said, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to change my life. I want to be better. And so he joined the Navy, Navy SEALs. He became I think he became an airborne ranger too. Incredible guy, and then got out and started doing these incredible feats. He was running, I think, 300-mile races or 200-mile races. Apparently, the first time he did it, he had to run 100 miles, and he only trained for like a month. And he got to 70 miles. That was just qualifying, just so he could run the larger races. He got to 70 miles, and he ended up cramping and had to sit down. And he talked to his wife, and he said, sitting down was the worst mistake he ever made, because once you sit down, it's hard to get up. And he said, at that moment, he said, I'll walk another mile. And, you know, he had 3 or 4 hours left to do it, because he had to run 100 miles in 24 hours, which is about 14 minutes a mile, which is really too difficult for 24 hours, right, to run straight. Well, he says he got through 70 pretty quickly, and then he sat down. He was defecating on himself. He was cramping. He thought he was going to die. He literally was going into shock. got some water, took a little break, and then went out and he says, you know what, I'll just keep walking. And then after about 3 or 4 miles of walk, he knew he wasn't going to make it because the time was running out. So then he just started running. And then in that moment is where he figured out that he had no limits, that his limits were only self-imposed. And that's after that is when he set all these other records, like the pull-up records. And he's coming out with a new book. But if you Google David Goggins and you listen to him, he has a really well-known book. I forgot what the name of the book is, but I'm sure it's out there. He thinks he's going to sell, I think, 5 or 6 million copies of his audiobook. It's going to be the most listened to audiobook in 2022 once it's released. He's that amazing. So he was our initial speaker, and it gets even better. So listen to this. So he's our first featured speaker on the second day of the event. And then after that, we get to listen to Camille Vasquez, who was the attorney that cross-examined Johnny Depp. And she was the one that, or not Johnny Depp, she cross-examined Amber Heard, but she represented Johnny Depp. I'm sorry. And she was talking about her fame and how essentially if you lose in the court of public opinion, then even if you win your case, you've still lost. And that was the takeaway I got from Camille Vasquez. Of course, we also listened to, God, what was the, there was one other speaker that was really good, but it's not the finale. And I want to save the finale because the finale, the last speaker was honestly the best. Oh, it was Laura Wasser, who was the divorce attorney for Kim Kardashian against Kanye West. And she essentially said, lawyers out there, the one thing I will honestly tell you is, it's not worth any amount of money to take on a crazy client. So that was Laura Wasser's takeaway. But the last speaker was the best speaker, and it was the former governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger himself. And Arnold Schwarzenegger had the most incredible presentation I've ever seen. When he came out, I didn't have my hopes that high that he was going to be that impressive, but Arnold Schwarzenegger is an incredible speaker. He's so, you know, he talks about his story. He's always, if you've noticed, you ever listened to interviews of him, he's never upset. You know, he's always a happy person. He's always laughing. He's always a jovial person. He embodies the American spirit. You know, he came over here, I think around 15 or 16, and he was a bodybuilder, of course. And he was flown over here by a gentleman named Joe Weider, who was huge in the healthcare bodybuilding world. And so Arnold was working out, but he made a little bit of money, but not that much money. And the first thing he did was he bought a quadruplex. I think it was four or six apartments like that was with the money that he made. And then he sold it and then he bought 12 apartments, he said, like an apartment complex with 12 different apartments. And he kept doing it and he kept doing it. And he actually made his first million not in bodybuilding, but in real estate. And so right off, by his early 20s, he was already a millionaire based upon his real estate investments that he had saved up. And he was really, really sharp. Are we going to go to break? We're going to go to break. I want to talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger because it's really compelling what he said.
Everybody knows that Meldon Law is the only official injury law firm partner of the Florida Gators. However, since we first opened our doors in 1971, we've been your community partner as well. With over 600 scholarships awarded through our Meldon Law Scholar Athlete Program, as well as our Veterans Making a Difference initiative, Meldon Law now has offices in Gainesville, Ocala, and Lake City. MeldonLaw.com, where we won't back down.
We're back here at Law Talk Live. I've been talking about this seminar with these incredible speakers, Cy Wakeman, Kevin O'Leary, Jesse Cole. We had Laura Wasser. We had Camille Vasquez. We had, of course, David Goggins. And I guess the name of the book is Can't Hurt Me, and it's sold millions and millions of copies. But his journey from an overweight, uneducated individual to one of the foremost inspirational figures in America these days is incredible. The last speaker, though, that we're talking about, of course, is the Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And Arnold was absolutely incredible. I was talking about how he made his first million. It wasn't in movies. It wasn't in bodybuilding. It was in real estate. So what he said is The money he made from real estate allowed him not to take smaller roles in movies that he didn't want. For example, they were trying to get him to be a bouncer or a bad guy or do things that, you know, were small roles in movies. And he says, you know what? I don't need the money. I'm not going to do it. And it was only his first role he got was cast for Conan the Barbarian, which was a lead role in an action movie. And in Conan, they first said that he was too big. At that time, most of the movie stars were really small. He said that Pacino and De Niro and there was a couple other people that Dustin Hoffman were all about 5'8". And Arnold Schwarzenegger was 6'5", 260 pounds, and he was built like a brick house, right? So he was being told in Hollywood he was too big to act. And so then he kept being told that, and he waited, and he finally got Conan the Barbarian. It put him on the map as a bona fide action star. And then afterwards, the director told him, you are the only person that could have been Conan the Barbarian because of the way you were built. So he said he had taken that weakness and made it into his strength. So, of course, later on, he gets cast as the Terminator. And apparently he had met with the director, James Cameron, of the Terminator, and he wanted the role as the good guy. And I forgot the name of the – do you remember the name of the protagonist in the Terminator? If you told me, I'd remember. But there's the protagonist. You know, there's the good guy, and then there's the Terminator. And he wanted the role as the good guy in the Terminator. And him and James Cameron were talking, and he started telling James Cameron how, you know, the Terminator would move and how he envisioned the Terminator to speak and how he would, you know, use his guns. And James Cameron says, Arnold, you want to be the Terminator. You don't want to be John. Was it John something? I don't know what it was. You don't want to be the protagonist. You want to be the Terminator. And he says, you know what? I do want to be the Terminator. And at that time, the other issue that they had was that he had this very significant, as everyone knows out there, this Austrian-German accent. And that was another barrier for him. Well, he does the Terminator, turns it into an incredible success. And afterwards, James Cameron says, you know what really sold you as a Terminator? It wasn't your size. And it wasn't the fact that you were Conan the Barbarian. It was your accent sounded like a robot. And so once again, Arnold says he had turned a weakness into a strength. And the last movie he talked about was the movie Twins. Before that, he had never done a comedy, but he was up in, he said he was skiing with a director named Ivan Reitman, who directed Ghostbusters. And there was a comedian named Robin Williams, and they all met, and they were all hanging out up in the Colorado mountains. And they met Arnold, and they said, Arnold, you're pretty funny. Like, you're actually cracking us up here. You should do a comedy film. And Arnold says, yeah, I should do a comedy film. So Ivan Reitman, who was the director of Ghostbusters, puts him and Danny DeVito in the movie Twins. So you remember the movie Twins. And what Arnold did in that movie, he says, look, I know you're taking a risk on me. You don't have to pay me any salary, but I want a gross partnership in the movie and whatever the profits are in the movie. So he negotiated a huge portion of the profits, and he says that movie made him more money than any other movie combined was Twins. So that was pretty incredible. So he was always thinking forward. He then met Maria Shriver. He knew George H. Bush. He was a big Bush guy. He was appointed to the Special Olympics, and he really enjoyed helping people. So then he got into politics and ran for the governor of California, and won as a Republican in the state of California. And what he said was really interesting. He says, I'm always about the people. He says, I experienced the American dream. What happened to me should be able to happen to everybody. And I always put people over politics. And I thought that was a pretty, and he meant it when he said it. I mean, obviously his actions are. I mean, he's been turned on by a lot of his Republican brethren, even though he still says he's proud to be a Republican and he believes in Republican principles. But he believes in traditional principles. For example, the one act that he was really proud of was Proposition. I think it was 49 or I don't know. There was a proposition that was passed in California, which allowed Arnold Schwarzenegger to have more money designated for after school programs. And he said that it was great. The Republicans loved it. The Democrats loved it. The police officers loved it because it got kids off the streets between 3 and 6 p.m., and as you probably know, that's when most kids get in trouble, when their parents are working and they don't have anything to do, and they go home and they have an empty home to go to. And he said for him, that was worth every single minute of him being governor. And now, 20 years later, it's still in effect, and it's been a great program, and everyone has really supported it. At least that was his thoughts. So it was just a really incredible experience. And what Arnold said at the end of the speech is that, look, everyone along the whole way told me I couldn't do it. You know, I couldn't be a millionaire because I was a bodybuilder, so I invested in real estate. And then I couldn't be an actor because I was too big and I had an accident. But I figured out what my niche is, and I became the biggest Hollywood movie star in the history of the world. And then I was told I couldn't be governor because I wasn't born in the United States, and you know, I'm a Republican and I live in California. And guess what? 5.4 million people voted for him. So he says, everyone kept telling me, you can't do this. You're not going to be able to do this. And I did it. So when people, what he gets upset about is when people tell him no, or when people say, you can't do that, that's BS. You can do whatever you want to do. And he is, he's very passionate about it, and it's very inspirational. And I was really excited to hear some of his thoughts. So I was surprised to be as impressed with Arnold as I was. And the whole event was great. And of course, the cherry on top was our director of operations winning the car, the Tesla, inside the entire arena, and being going up in front of 5,000 people and being presented with this car. It was absolutely incredible. Great time. So with that being said, I know I did not get to our topic today. I will just state it and give you a quick answer. It says, what happens if my car gets towed and the tow truck driver gets into an accident that damages my car? Well, the answer is that you can make a claim. Usually you would make a claim through your own insurance, and they would go and contact the tow truck driver's insurance, and then they would reimburse you for whatever you paid. Unless you wanted to get them to just pay it right off the bat, you can call their company and they can reimburse your vehicle. If you have any other questions, give us a call at Meldon Law, 1-352-373-8000. That's 1-352-373-8000. We have run out of time today, but I've really enjoyed talking to you guys about the seminar. And as always, we'll send you off with a Go Gators!